You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, February 17th, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, it's Casual Friday, so we've got casual Cliff Schechter and actually probably not so casual Eddie Pepitone. Comedian coming to give us our weekly film recommendations. Also on the program today, birth control. That's what this 2012 election is going to be all about. Andrew Breitbart's slap suit gets slapped down, or I should say slap motion. Manhattan DA subpoenaing the Twitter accounts of an Occupy Wall Street protester. Swan song for Pat Buchanan. And more. But first, to bring on Cliff Schechter, we need Cliff Schechter's theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the near famous, the indefatigable, I don't even know if that's even a word, indefatigable. I can't pronounce it, no.
Is that somebody with feces? Is that what you're saying about me?
No, I was just trying to say that you're tireless. I just don't have the verbal
acumen. You're too tired to...
frankly, I am too tired. This last live show we are going to be doing for the next week. Next week we'll have all new content, but this will be the last live show as it is school vacation, and someone's got to stay home with the child, and that will be me.
Are you not doing a live show next Friday, Sam?
No, I'm not. Why? What do you got?
Because I'm going to be in New York. I was going to tell you and be all excited to come in the studio, but I guess not.
No.
I'll come hang out with you and your daughter instead. How's that sound?
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun for you.
She has to learn about aspirin at some point, so, you know, maybe now's the time.
That's right. You know, let's talk about this a little bit. This is just... every week, it seems like, I am more amazed by what is going on in this country. I'm actually getting to the point where it's starting to feel somewhat unfortunate because I was hoping that on some level that President Obama would have to justify some policies. You know, from the left a little bit, I thought maybe, I don't know when I thought this, but I thought maybe...
Well, we were thinking this, though. We're both guilty of this.
Yeah, I thought maybe there was a chance that he would, the Republican nominee, would put a little pressure on him relative to the banks. But at this point, it just sounds like it's just going to be, you know, to the extent that there's any pressure about any banks, it's just going to be like sperm banks or... I don't know about IBF banks or what. I don't even know what to say about this.
the Bayer factory. I don't worry. The rest of the show, I intend to make many jokes about this subject.
Well, maybe we should play the audio so that people know what you're talking about. Do we have this audio, Matt? This is, what's his name? Foster Freeze.
What a cool name.
Rick Santorum's benefactor, who has, you know, he's the billionaire or in the corner of Rick Santorum. And he seems to be parlaying his millions of dollars that he's giving to Rick Santorum into, you know, sort of a, I guess he's now qualified to go on television and be a pundit. Fine. It doesn't take much. I'm on. But and I certainly don't have millions or billions of dollars. But he does not have the ability to deliver a joke like, let's say, a Cliff Schechter. Here he is on, I don't know. Oh, yeah, this is Andrea Mitchell's show, because I remember this because Andrea Mitchell looks like she's going to pass out after he says that she doesn't even know how to respond to it. Listen to this.
It's awesome.
This contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to catch my breath from that, Mr. Freeze, frankly. let's change the subject to...
Why? Why change the subject that first off...
The gals put it back. I mean, just the whole tone of that. Go ahead, Sam. Go off on them.
I heard this. The first time I heard those exact words was 28 years ago when I was in the living room of my Irish Catholic high school girlfriend's parents, and her, at that time, like 75-year-old father, looked at me and said those exact words. You want to know what birth control is? Irish Catholic birth control? We use an aspirin, and my daughters hold it between their knees, and I sort of also implied that I heard, and listen, you Jew, do not touch my daughter. Now, I don't think that was on, I don't think Foster Freeze has progressed beyond that, so I think he probably wasn't adding that. But what's almost more ridiculous is like this idea of like birth control, that's so inexpensive. I imagine if you're a billionaire guy, you don't spend much on birth control.
Probably not. He probably spends a whole ton on Viagra, though. He gets that covered, I'm sure. You know, and I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is just was so amazing to me. Do you remember the 1990s and how different things were, Sam? I almost feel like we, you know, I've run out of ways to describe it because it's so ludicrous that we've entered just this different parallel universe. I feel like it's one of those Star Trek episodes where they jump through a mirror. And they're in like some weird place that's like sort of the same but completely different. I mean, we're really, you know, yesterday it wasn't just that Foster Freeze's ridiculous like 1950s home ec remark, you know, his pre 9/11 mentality as in 9/11, 1901.
Right.
But I mean, in the same day, you've got the state representative, I believe it was, imbecile Republican from New Hampshire, pointing out that birth control causes cancer, so women should avoid using it anyhow. You've got Daryl Issa holding his
wait a minute, are you talking about the woman from New Hampshire?
I thought it was a man. Am I wrong?
This one, what's her name, Potter?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Nodder. Okay, no.
Daughter. So was it a woman? Am I wrong?
Yeah, but you got. She's not. Do we have the audio for this? Okay, here's the scene because you don't even understand how crazy this is, Cliff. She is in a hearing, I guess, in New Hampshire. They're talking to, I guess, some type of medical expert. The medical expert is so befuddled by what she claims here that he doesn't even know what the heck, like. She is claiming that birth control pills cause prostate cancer in men. Okay, so here is the exchange. And listen to the medical guy. He's got a look on his face like, like, you know, he obviously
probably just had an aneurysm.
He has to testify in front of these people, and there's no way that he can afford to say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard out of the mouth of a sentient human being. Listen to this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for taking my question.
Can we hear this?
This is about religion, the HR, but since you had mentioned birth control, as a man, would it interest you to know that Dr. Bernstein's just published an article that links the pill to prostate cancer?
In the children that are born from these women?
You can borrow this if you buy it.
I don't know if you could hear it well. She says, would it interest you to know that and she holds up a piece of paper, you know, Dr. Rothstein or whatever it is, says has linked the contraceptive pill to prostate cancer in men? And the guy says, you mean in children born from women who've been taking the pill? Like, he's trying to get his head around this.
I don't know what exactly the hell she's talking about.
Yes, and she says no. And
what's
her name?
What's her name, Nutter? It's perfect, isn't it?
I guess
the theory is that if a woman is taking birth control and a man engages in copulation with this woman, his prostate is in danger.
Would it be possible he get pink eye, too? I'm just trying to make sure all the possibilities here. Maybe
we
may
have to cut that part out, Cliff.
You may have to cut that part out. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
I don't mean to interrupt. So you were going on to also, I think, talk about the hearing that was on Capitol Hill yesterday by Daryl Issa.
And Daryl Issa, this little car thief troll who turned the fact that he was a little hoodlum who stole cars into like a business, realizing, hey, I should stop people like myself, and makes millions on car alarms. I mean, I just detest that guy. You can't tell. And so he's holding this hearing, and it's all men who are sitting there. It's like that Sean Hannity panel where it's all the religious men talking about, John Stewart showed on The Daily Show. And it's all men who are, I'm trying to remember who it was, but one of the female congresswomen or senators, I can't remember who, requested they add a woman to the panel. You know, this is someone who had a friend who died of ovarian cancer. He's like, no, she's not qualified to be on the panel. It's all these guys essentially with penile that are qualified to talk about it. But somebody with actual female parts is not qualified to talk about birth control. I mean, this is all going on the same day, and this is also all in the backdrop of the law passed in Virginia, you know, with Taliban Bob McDonnell, you know, their governor, who's trying to force invasive procedures, who essentially would now like to occupy women's vaginas before they're able to have their right to choose. With an invasive procedure, you know, and on top of that, from what I just heard today, if I'm correct, at my friend Lowell Feld's blog, Blue Virginia, they're now cutting the budget there for Alicia's Law, which is something that tries to protect women, from being raped. I mean, it's sort of like, at what point, it's like I get so tired of the cliches, war on this, war on that. But somebody find me something else if you want to find another term besides war on women. And, I mean, because what can you call all of that? I mean, do these guys honestly want to lose 70% of the women vote? They've already gone after Latinos in a huge way and pretty much bash and been racist and whatever, so they want to lose that vote too. Are they basically going to have to start digging up dead white guys from like the last century and registering the vote just so they have a chance to win? Who is it that they're – what are they doing? I don't even know anymore.
I honestly – Oklahoma, I think, yesterday also passed the personhood bill, which claims that a zygote is a person. And that's also in the mix in Virginia. I find it so it's very hard to wrap your head around this. You say 1990s, in 2000, I guess it was, or very close to it, maybe it was the 90s, late 90s, Huckabee signed a mandate that birth control be included in prescription coverage. Mitt Romney in 2006 signed a healthcare, his healthcare overhaul had the same mandate. You had Collins and Snow Greenwood of Pennsylvania co-sponsored bills in 97 requiring contraceptive coverage nationally. It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
I mean, what numbers are they looking at? I mean, besides the fact that, let's be honest, I mean, morally, they're a bunch of repugnant, atavistic thugs. Okay, so let's get past that because we knew that about them. But, I mean, you know, this recent Democracy Corps poll that came out showing that Obama's numbers, Democrats' numbers are spiking. Republicans are looking like we're going to have an opposite of 2010, and this may be heading towards a wave election again for Democrats. All right. This is led by, according to them, quote, a resurgent and reengagement of unmarried women. Gee, I wonder why. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, are these people honestly the stupidest effing people in the world? I mean, it just reminds me of after 2004 when George W. Bush ran on, you know, what did he run on? Tax cuts and, you know, things like that. And then as soon as the election was over, he was like, okay, now I'm going to cut Social Security. And everybody was like, you know, I think Paul Krugman had this in his column the other day. He was like, you know, Paul Krugman put it, you ran against gay married terrorists, essentially. But now you've decided that somehow is a mandate to cut Social Security. And that's when the big slide began for Bush. Similarly here, these guys who ran against big budget deficits and things and won in 2010 on issues of that sort, did they take that as a mandate to go after birth control? I mean, because they're insane. But I like it. I mean, God bless them. Put Foster Freeze, give him his own TV show. MSNBC should do that.
Right, you exactly. Know, bring
just
him
get
on.
This idiot on TV.
Well, you mentioned the Democracy Corps poll saying that over 50% of voters give the Republican Party a cool negative rating. Even Rasmussen, which is not terribly, which has a tendency of being slightly favorable to the right, to the extent that it's accurate. Their latest poll finds that 35% of likely voters say it would be more accurate to describe the agenda of Republicans as mainstream. 52% feel extreme is a more accurate description.
It's 52. I mean, they're going to get down to that famous number. You know, there's like that number that tends to be between 23% and 26%. Which is the core crazy number.
Right.
No, it's like that's the number that Bush's approval rating tends to stay around. And that's what, I mean, they're heading towards that territory where they're going to end up where, I mean, they're going to get destroyed. And in a way, it's going to be fun to watch because they're just such a bunch of idiots. But in a way, you're right, because in some ways it's going to be a little bit it's upsetting because I would have liked some more pressure on Obama to deal with the banks in a harsher way and to be more populist on a variety of things, whether it be forcing, you know, trying to force votes on things like raising the minimum wage again or other things like that. And, certainly, again, an issue I've worked a lot on, which is Social Security, which I hope he's smart enough not to go anywhere near, and Medicare. And I would have liked more pressure, but I don't think there's going to be any pressure.
Well,
sadly,
I mean,
because
that's the thing.
These guys are a joke.
I think there has to be I am concerned. Well, let me put it this way. The more – once you get into that realm of the president having less of a difficulty in getting reelected, it is that much more important to have a democratically controlled Congress. Because we're going to need to I fear that President Obama in a second term with a Republican Senate and a Republican House may offer up cuts to Social Security. I can make an argument either way. I'm a little bit concerned about that. I would like to see a Democratic Congress, because if you get a Democratic Congress with a second-term President Obama, I think you're going to see the Democratic Congress not playing ball with the president and pulling him to the left.
Right.
Maybe that's wishful thinking, but
at least not letting him drift too far to the right. And so that's why I agree with you. And that's when anybody looking at the combination, I mean, just yesterday may have been a watershed day And you combine that with, you know, and you start seeing those results in that Democracy Corps poll. And I think people, you know, for the first time, it's starting to look like, you know, that this, again, especially if the economy is improving, and maybe not in the way we'd like it to, and maybe not as much as it should have, and we've been through all that, so I won't go through it all again. But it is improving, and it is getting better. And you combine that with these morons and what they're choosing to talk about, you know, and how they're alienating themselves from the vast majority of the electorate. In a way, you know, if we get a wave election, that's the kind of thing that goes beyond. Even when districts are drawn, you know, are gerrymandered, that doesn't stop a wave election. You know what I mean? And right. Even when there are seats up in states like there are right now that are very unfriendly to Democrats, that's when Democrats end up winning if they have even the most, you know, I mean, that's when someone like Kay Hagan wins in North Carolina, for example, over Liddy Dole, is during a wave election. You know, and so, you don't know. I mean, this could end up, I was pretty much had resigned myself to Democrats losing the Senate. And I mean, these guys keep going with this stuff day in and day out. I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know? I mean, think it's going to be pretty hard to retain the Senate. No
I do too.
What. But I mean, we have to say that, you know, these polls that we're quoting, that's before the complete insanity of the last 2 or 3 days. I mean, just that picture, if you look at that picture of that panel for the contraceptive panel, it is 4, 5, 6 guys. It looks like the Star Chamber. I mean, you know, they're sitting in there. I think 3 of them have frocks on. It is just insane. It is just full on insane. And there is virtually
all they need to do is start. You get up and start singing that song from History of the World, The Inquisition.
Right, exactly.
Inquisition, what a show! You know, and they're dancing around like, you know, with a bunch of Jewish guys with their heads sticking out of them, like Jackie Mason, and they're playing the drums on their heads. I mean, that's essentially what they just need to do.
So let's just touch on this just briefly. Mitt Romney looks like if he loses Michigan, he's going to have a real big problem, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he is. I still think he's going to hold on to it. I mean, basically, the interesting thing then is, you know, when you get heading towards Super Tuesday, Georgia and Ohio become important. And frankly, if he can't win in Michigan, you know, the same types of voters that are proving to literally hate him, I mean, which is almost everybody, but even in larger numbers, which are older working class voters, are in even bigger numbers in Ohio, I believe, than in Michigan. I could be off, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. So so here in Ohio, he's in trouble. In Georgia, I guess what happens, maybe Newt Gingrich steals some votes from Santorum, and he slips through there. I don't know, but you know, they don't like Mormons down in evangelical Georgia. I mean, people point out that the Santorum campaign, much like the Gingrich campaign, is JV. I mean, they don't even have a pollster. You know, they don't have a lot of advanced staff. They don't, I mean, but who's to say that just somebody who just puts their name on the ballot and shows up places and sounds more like a human being than Mitt Romney can't potentially beat him? I don't know.
Well,
I think it's a hard thing to still believe.
To be fair to Santorum's operation, they have to dedicate so much resources to picking up glitter because he's constantly glitter bombed everywhere he goes that now most of their staff are dedicated just to picking up the, you know, the glitter, which is virtually, it's one of the hardest things to pick up as having a 6.5-year-old daughter. I can tell you nothing.
Right.
Plus
there's the forced diaphragm inspections of everybody that shows up at his,
that's
rally.
Correct.
So
yes, it's very difficult to maintain a campaign when you're so worried about the way that women's fallopian tubes, are functioning. So,
but there may be somewhere within, like, let's say, a 5 to 10 square mile radius of where you are, there may be gay sex going on, and they need to make sure to sort of root that out too.
I think people have to start to pay attention to where the big Republican money and when the big Republican money starts focusing on House races and Senate races, because I think we're getting closer and closer to that moment. I mean, you've got
Sarah Palin
yesterday now is floating essentially her trial balloon saying,
I'm available at the convention. This is exactly my kind of gig. It's where I don't have to do any of the work and do, show up and do anything, and I get picked anyhow. I mean, if that's not a Sarah Palin gig,
right? I mean, so there's another 5% of now of the Republican base, which is saying, "Oh, wait a second, Sarah might jump back into this. You know, we should get our maybe we should rethink everything that's going on." I mean, this just it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It just starts to throw it more and more into turmoil. You've got Mitt Romney now afraid to debate. They've canceled the Georgia debate. I don't know if there's another debate coming up next. I think there might be one more in.
Well, I wondered a lot of the time while Romney was doing so many of these debates when, you know, he obviously had the huge advantage, you know, on the paid media front.
Right.
You know, and I thought to myself, why is, why doesn't he just sort of, you know, I mean, inevitably he's going to sit up at debates, look like a stick figure, you know, a wooden freaking soldier and end up saying idiotic things like, "I bet you $10,000, because that's who he is. You know, and I mean, in some level, I understand why initially he needed to do some of them, because the stage of these guys, he didn't want to be missing. But why he kept doing so many of them, I don't know why he didn't find ways to not show up and just clobber them on.
I think there's a complete lack of self-awareness. There has to be.
Yeah.
They're just simply.
And it has to be. As someone who's worked on these campaigns, I can tell you it has to be also something where his staff are trying to gently tell him that, and he's such an arrogant ass he refuses to hear it.
Well,
because they have to know it.
I mean, I think at the end, we're not out of the woods. I mean, there were job numbers that came out today, unemployment claim numbers that came out today that were encouraging. They're at their lowest level since 2008. This is initial unemployment claims. They dropped by 13,000 to 348,000. It's obviously just more. This does not include, obviously, this is not an unemployment figure. This is a figure of people who have joined the ranks of the unemployed. So we don't have to parse out those numbers of people who have stopped working from this number. We still have far too many people who are unemployed. And we should also say, you know, I think the one thing that I have yet to see anybody factor this in, people talk about it in terms of housing starts, but I think this is less relevant. It has been so warm in so many parts of the country this year that I think that there has been a de facto stimulus check that people have received. We talk about the payroll tax cut, which, adds theoretically some stimulative effect. But
right.
If you're not paying an extra 100, 150 bucks, 200 bucks a month because of heating oil prices, that's money in your pocket that you're going out and spending. And
that's a fantastic point.
I mean,
and I would actually, in places, I could speak to this as a Midwesterner, sort of, you know, I'm still a New Yorker, but I try to pretend anyhow. But at least where I'm living right now, that there are probably people, at least in some parts here, where if it's not like butt cold freezing, you know, you get out and you walk places. And you don't use your car, and you don't need gas that way.
You don't need gas, but you also have – look, you know, people are saving – even if it's – you know, maybe you pay the kid down the block 15 bucks to 25 bucks to shovel your walk or your driveway. That makes a difference. You know, you're talking about putting another 75 bucks a month to 100
bucks. No, that's
a
fantastic point, and that makes a big difference for a lot of people.
A lot of difference.
So, no, and again, you know, I always want to keep the two debates or the two discussions we're having separate, because I think mostly this today we've been having a political conversation.
Right.
So I don't want people to think I'm saying, yay, the economy is wonderful and everything was done perfectly, whatever. I feel like, you know, people that listen to us regularly know pretty well my thoughts on that and your thoughts. You know, I don't want to every show go into how I don't think the stimulus was big enough and why and whatever. But with all that said, I'm just saying politically, yes, the economy still needs to improve and isn't where it needs to be. But if it falls under 8%, you know, the unemployment rate, I mean, there's a chance there were some projections showing it might go back up in the middle of the year, and that would be a problem. If it keeps going down, though, and people, again, it's sort of what people's confidence, which I think a lot of that is gained by looking at those numbers. And believe it or not, the stock market has become so omnipresent on all of our TV, like, you know, a game show, as we know, that I think that affects people's confidence if that keeps going in a positive direction. If you combine that with, at the same time, people actually are feeling better in their lives because they've got a little bit more money because of things you're pointing out, which are completely, you know, not the effect of a stimulus. I guess that's what you could call that, the Republican stimulus, global warming. But you know, that and other things, well, you know, that's, I mean, again, Mitt has no profile, has nothing to him except I'm the guy who can handle the economy and he screwed it up. So the fewer people who think, quote, he screwed it up, Mitt Romney has absolutely no justification for why he exists or what his campaign is.
No, Mitt Romney, and we got to wrap it up, but Mitt Romney was 6 to 8 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, Mitt Romney was supposedly the Obama referendum candidate. Let the vote, let this be a referendum on Obama, and I'm just the default. And unfortunately for Mitt Romney, the Republicans have become the issue now. And he had to get pulled so far to the right that he actually became the issue. And
Without
horrible economic numbers, at least. I mean, I still think that we're in a sort of a pretty horrible economic situation. But without horrible numbers and without a horrible perception, this changes from a referendum on Obama to, wow, do I want this guy or that guy? And that's a problem for that guy in this instance, who is going to be the Republican nominee.
Right, and I just want to say, I think it's very important also to note that the problem is when you've got a big, huge, you know, election like you do in 2010 that went the Republicans' way, is a lot of imbeciles and amateurs on their side got elected to places they had no business getting elected to. And what that's done is, I think I'm done, aren't I?
Well, no, go ahead, just finish up.
I can't hear anything because of the music.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Do you want me to finish up or do I need to go?
Yeah, just finish up. Finish up. Sorry.
I was going to say, so in states around the country, key swing states, you've got McDonald doing this anti-woman stuff in Virginia, a key state. I'm here in Ohio where you've got John Kasich, who's now who's threatening to have his approval rating fall below 30%, has pissed off unions that often switch over. Some union voters vote Republican, are angry. Working class voters are angry at him. The rest, obviously, you know, everybody knows what's going on in Wisconsin. I mean, essentially, you know, Rick Scott in Florida. I mean, in a number of these key swing states, it's even not just Romney, you know, and Santorum that are destroying the Republican brand. It's these local jokers that got elected during the off-year election. And I think that's going to do – I can't tell you how much things have changed here because of Kasich calling cops idiots, going after unions, making fun of Parkinson's victims and others. I mean, it doesn't help the Republican brand. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, very good point. Cliff Schechter, as always, a pleasure. We'll see you in 2 weeks, buddy.
Thanks a lot, buddy. I'm going to find you in New York next week, though.
Okay, good. I'll talk to you
soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We will be back in just a moment with comedian Eddie Pepitone. Right back after this.
And he increases the number of clocks by exactly one. Everybody's coming home for lunch these days. Last night there were skinheads on my lawn.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
That woman is an idiot.
Here it is, the Republicans' health care plan for America. Don't get sick.
If you think that's a fair ad, okay, then you're a Republican and an asshole. Have at it, Hoss. Be in that party. Despicable, man.
They're the bad guys.
Endless taxpayer bailout.
Yeah, that's not true.
When Obama won, the reason why we worked so hard for him,
we didn't want a garden variety politician.
Taking a stand, not just cutting deals.
That's what vision is. Yeah. That's what vision is.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Big lanes.
Got big lanes. Got
We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. And as you folks know, every week on Friday, I need some movie recommendations that are, of course, streaming because I'm not allowed to leave my house because my child and my wife, neither one of whom want me to enjoy myself in any fashion unless I'm, close enough at hand to be at service of them. That's basically, that's the short version of my life. And it's probably the long version as well. And this week, it is a pleasure to welcome to the program Eddie Pepitone, who is an actor, a comedian, many of you may be familiar with. Eddie, welcome to the program.
Hi, have you seen Up?
Well, wait a second, slow down, Eddie.
Ed Asner, who's an activist, really does a terrific job
Up?
As a cartoon. You should see it. Up, yeah.
Wait, hold on for a second, Eddie. Slow down, buddy. You got to slow down. We're gonna be done with this segment in 30 seconds. I've never even heard of Up. Is that an animated movie?
You've never heard of Up? Did you say you have kids?
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't understand. We sequester her in a part of of our home, and we just don't let her, it's part of is an experiment that I'm doing. I'm hoping 6 to 10 years down the road, I get to write a book about it where we basically keep her in a bubble and we don't expose her to such things.
I've never
heard of Up. But wait a second, let's back up for a second. Because for those who don't know Eddie, first of all, you can go to eddiepepitone.com. And somebody calls you the Bitter Buddha. Who calls you that? You call that yourself?
Well, it kind of stuck with me. My friend Sean Connery, who I do a podcast with, the Long Shot podcast.
Wait, did you say Sean Connery?
Conroy.
Oh, okay.
Conroy, not Sean Connery. Not Sean Connery. He's not my friend. We had a falling out a while ago. He thinks he's debonair, and he believes that he can do these things that James Bond can do, and I would always be trying to get him back into reality. So we had a falling out. But Sean Conroy, who I've done comedy with for many years, dubbed me the Bitter Buddha. And the deal is that I have a lot of rage, and but I've taken up meditation. So,
wait, you've taken up meditation?
I have taken up meditation, and I am trying to get I'm trying to get a handle on the deleterious effects of rage. Like, I like to rage as a comedian; it drives me. But in my average life. In my daily life, the rage does not serve me well and will probably get me, wounded in some fashion, whether it be in a relationship or online waiting for a coffee.
So wait a second. When did you start meditating? Is this transcendental meditation?
Yes, it is. I took a course. I had to pay $300 to get a mantra. And looking back at that, that makes me rageful. But
you seem to be handling it quite well. I mean, I don't sense any rage in you
right now.
You seem to be quite calm.
I'm very happy. I'm in a park here in L.A. And this is my favorite time of year in L.A. when it's not brutally hot. It's just beautiful, and there's squirrels around me. I feed squirrels with walnuts now, and. It's kind of a good life, feeding squirrels with walnuts, doing comedy in the evening. I'm watching people jog by me while I just sit under this, what I like to call the...
When did you start this meditation?
I would say about a year ago.
Wow, I think it's really kicked in, dude, because I don't think I've ever heard you so, I've heard you on of the Marin stuff, and I've seen you obviously in different shows, and probably at some comedy clubs back in the day. And I don't think I've ever. Mm-hmm. You almost sound like you may fall asleep on that park bench.
I'm leaning against a tree. There are no benches here, but Yeah, it's helped me a lot, except, you know, my meditation practice is sketchy in the sense that you're supposed to do it twice a day for 20 minutes each. And, you know, I'm lucky if I do it once a day. But it's definitely helped me, you know, along with, you know, I'm sounding like an old person, but along with exercising and eating a lot better. I'm not as insane.
Well, that's one. Well, I was hoping that we would. That I get you to basically rail on Marin, as you may or may not know.
What happened?
Well, I mean, Marin and I did a show together. The last thing he did before he started WTF at Air America, it was something that he dragged me into, and in some ways, I don't think I've ever recovered. Whereas he sort of sucked a lot of my knowledge about the web and a lot of my encouragement and went on to basically have the best period of his life. And so I felt like in many respects, his favorite line always before he got wealthy enough to not to feel bitter about people was that other people were psychic vampires. And I think to a certain extent, I really understand that now, that it was really just a projection of what he was. And I became the final victim.
The final victim.
I think so.
I agree. He always calls me someone who, you know, sucks his energy. He's always accusing me of that, and it's funny how when I leave Mark, I feel the opposite. I feel like he has vampired me. So, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Marin is that he's sort of like, as his teeth sink into your neck, he's going like, oh, look at what you're doing. I'm going to have to brush after this. I'm going to have to brush my teeth extra. You're draining me.
Yes, a master at turning the emotional tables.
Yeah, it's really. I was hoping that maybe I mean, I know you're fairly regular guest on his show. I mean, to the extent that he will, you know, well, when he's not out, you know,
right,
star
right,
effing
he,
as it is.
Yes. Yes, I give him shit about that. Like when he has people like Ben Stiller on, and he doesn't ask him one difficult question about one of his movies.
Right. I mean, to his
like,
credit,
come on,
to Marin's credit,
balls? Where are your balls? Yeah, what?
To Marin's credit, he doesn't come right out and say, "Will you hire me?" He's more subtle.
Yeah.
He's like, "Look, I'm a good guy to hang out with."
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you. He's psychic vampires me, and then says that I'm the drain, I'm the energy drain, and I really realize, you know, hey, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate the sentiment, and so let's get to this movie thing, Eddie.
Movies.
Up.
Right.
I've never heard of it. I don't like animation.
Now that's amazing. You don't like animated. Yeah, I my girlfriend has gotten me into to animated things. She loves animated. You ever seen, if you don't like animated, then you don't know Coraline, which is a brilliant animated movie. I'm also
Coraline?
Talking about movies.
What is it?
Coraline.
What is Coraline? Is that the one with Singular Sensation? That or no. I know.
It's a brilliant animated movie. But my favorite movie this last year would have to be The Artist. What a great movie, and I think it addresses.
Yeah, but Eddie,
yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yes.
The Artist doesn't
Why?
Work for me because
Why?
I can only watch movies on Netflix or on Amazon on demand.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you see, the problem is that. I have a wife and a child, I'm not allowed to go to theaters.
I see. Oh, okay. So you have to...
I have to go from work to either the supermarket or the pharmacy and then directly home. And on the weekend, if I'm not cleaning up or fixing a light bulb or whatever it is, I cannot project that I'm enjoying myself in any fashion.
Okay. I know what you need there. So you're in, you know, a very terse marital relationship.
Correct.
It's terse. It's tightly scheduled. What you need to see, and these have become my favorite things, is a crime documentary called The Staircase. Have you seen this?
No. That sounds good.
Oh, my God. Well, it's amazing because The Staircase, you will love it. It is actually done by French filmmakers. A guy, and it's just, it's a, you know, documentary, real story, a military guy. His wife gets, you know, his wife is found dead, bruises all over her body. He claims that she fell down the stairs. And it's an amazing documentary, you know, interviewing the kids and the forensics. And then, and this is, because I don't want to spoil it all for you, but about halfway through, you find out that in Germany, he had another wife who, quote unquote, fell down the stairs.
Oh, Jesus.
And it is...
What bad luck!
But it is amazing. It's an amazing study on all of this guy's wives falling down the stairs, and you just learn that you really cannot whack stairs as well as this guy. You know, there has to be some traction on stairs. What I'm saying, I'm being funny, but it is a really riveting.
That sounds great. That's right up my alley.
Yeah, because I'm in a long-term relationship too, and I've really started to like the crime dramas that deal with spouses killing each other. I don't know what that is about with me. I've just really, after 7 years, I've really gotten into that. You know.
Well, I'll get a little tip for you because my wife recently worked on one of those true crime series. She's a documentary filmmaker, but she needs to, you know, work in TV to make some cash. And she had looked into she had to track a solved crime from years ago about a woman who killed multiple husbands with coolant, antifreeze.
I think I.
Antifreeze is sweet. Apparently,
I heard about that case.
Yes, and if you put it into like pudding, you can't taste it. And on top of that, they don't ever look for antifreeze in an autopsy unless they have reason to believe it. Because all it does, I guess, it ends up swelling your brain over time.
I hope my girlfriend is not listening to this because
I haven't had sweets at home in probably 6 months. Only store bought.
Well,
I want to see the packaging.
I love pudding. And I remember that case, by the way, that you're talking about. I remember the other thing was that this woman's engine never froze. Like, she was really into antifreeze.
Yes, very conscientious.
Very conscientious about the ratio of antifreeze and water in her radiator.
So,
and husbands.
All right, do you have a second one by any chance or no?
The Staircase is right up your alley. And then the second one, God, have you seen Shoah? Now,
I have.
No, I know.
I have.
I know.
That's the one.
Oh, you have.
That was
seen
the
it.
First movie, actually, we allowed our daughter to watch. You can put it on a Saturday morning, and you don't have to spend time with it for the rest of the day.
Okay, I'm gonna give you another one, which is a great rental. It's with a young Nick Cage before he became an out of control lunatic who has 20 houses around the world and can't afford them. Hanging at Red Rock.
Hanging at Red Rock.
I've
never seen that.
Or Google. I wish I could get the exact name. This is bad of me, but Google Red Rock and Nick Cage.
All
it's
right.
It's an amazing taut, T-A-U-T. I love taut things, you know what I mean? Whether they are stomachs on joggers or movies. I love taut things. And it's a taut thriller.
All right,
and
sweet.
It's really good.
Wow, I got to say, Eddie, that those are two exceptional recommendations. I mean, we get people here who don't do very well, with all due respect to those people.
Well, you know, I don't know who you've been dealing with, but, you know, I have very, I have very esoteric taste in movies. You know, I will not go see, quote-unquote, blockbusters. You know what I mean? I like a thoughtful little piece of work.
Well, Eddie, you yourself are a thoughtful little piece of work. And thank you.
I had that line used at me at a bar the other night. A woman just came up to me and said, "You are a thoughtful piece of work."
That I would have liked to have seen, that exchange.
She ordered me an antifreeze on the rocks and left.
It's wonderful. It's a girl drink. All right. Well, Eddie Pepitone, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Appreciate it. You're taking
thank
time.
You.
We got to do this again.
Thank you, Sam.
All right. Folks, now, now it's time for, what should we do? We should do the, Jimmy Reefer Cakes song.
What else is there?
Well, there was actually, let's do the Jimmy Reefer Cake song now. I am holding in my hand an email from Jimmy Reefer Cake. Now, you know I don't listen to these songs beforehand. And I read the email that Jimmy Reefer Cake, or back in the day before Screaming Majority, this is their first week of hiatus. I'm having trouble adjusting to it.
Second week.
Is it the second week?
Yeah, they didn't give a song last week.
I don't even remember second. What happened last week? Where was I last week?
You were sitting right there, and we were listening to a Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
Don't remember.
Not a Screaming Majority song.
Do not remember that at all. I honestly have no recollection of that. Jimmy writes, in a stream of consciousness. Now, with all due respect, this concerns me. Because more often than not, I perceive Jimmy's song to be a stream of consciousness. That's not a value judgment. That's just my sense of his songs. They're a stream of consciousness. And so I'm curious as to what a stream of consciousness of a stream of consciousness will sound like. I take on some of the tough issues that you have been talking about on the show. That's awesome. Regarding the Occupy movement, sweet. I think I stumbled upon a way to appease anarchists without sullying the image of the 99%. Complicated problems, yet I propose a fairly simple solution. Well, let's play this song and find out what that solution by Jimmy Reefer Cake could possibly be.
General Assembly is a place where we can all come and speak our minds. Though we're not all necessarily gonna agree. For example, consider that marijuana still hasn't been legalized, and we know that can't be good for anybody. Libertarians, anarchists too, I see you down there supporting the 99% crowd. Yeah, this thing ain't just for the socialists. How can the 99% then ever agree on anything? And we still haven't marijuana legalized yet. I apologize, I understand. My marijuana rants are getting repetitive. But we still haven't legalized marijuana yet. in all serious, my friend. Anarchist, you want to break the law? There's a very simple way to do it. Just roll yourself a fatty, roll yourself a fatty, roll yourself a fatty. You just roll yourself a fatty. Everybody go down to the park and won't you roll yourself a fatty, roll yourself a fatty for me.
I gotta say, that was pretty good. I love the self-awareness, the deconstruction that's taking place in there. That was pretty good. I have to say, through the first half, it was reminding me of a song that Milo would sing, where she would just like start to, "Daddy, you're annoying me, and I want to have some chocolate. Can I have a cookie?" Just roll yourself a fatty, ladies and gentlemen, and by Jimmy Reefer Cake. And later in the program, responding to a member, because I should say, despite the fact that we have some members who have canceled, because not just because of some perception that we were endorsing violence, but then we had members who canceled because I was commenting on the members who canceled. Look, it happens. But not to, because I don't want to be saddled with a reputation of being hostile to emails of listeners or whatnot. Listener Diana has been emailing me since Whitney Houston died, saying you have to play her rendition of the national anthem at the 91 Super Bowl. It's a beautiful rendition, and it's very moving. And so today at the end of the show, we will play that. I had never heard it before, and, you know, let me make something clear. I don't have the capacity to judge music very well. So, but her voice is very good, and, you know, so we'll play it just because it's Friday. But we're not going to play it now. We'll play it at the end of the show. At the end of the show. What I did want to discuss... Oh, wait, we're going to go into the better half right now?
Do you want to?
Yes, let's do that. Sorry, so we're going to go into the better half of the program. Folks, listen, if you can become a member of the Majority Report, it is the only way that we really raise revenue on the show. I guess, you know, we also have Just Coffee as a sponsor, justcoffee.coop, 10% coupon code, Majority, in the coupon box, and Fair Trade. We also, you can support the show by buying your Amazon junk through our Amazon link at Support the Show on at majority.fm. Take our survey. That can help us so that maybe we can get some advertising. That's linked in the post at majority.fm. But becoming a member is really the only way to fully support this program and ensure its continuity, as it were. Next week, all new material. I get a great interview I did, I think it's a great interview, with Derek Jensen, I don't know how to describe him, a radical environmentalist, author.
Let's put it this way. Towards the end of the interview, he actually says to Sam, "You've given me the best questions I've ever received."
Well, there you go. So, we also have an interview with Dimitrik Aslov. I pronounced his name properly when I interviewed him. And he is a astronomer who's found, projects we're finding basically other Earths, more or less. We'll be talking to R.J. Eskow next week. Dimitar Saslov, excuse me. We'll be talking to R.J. Eskow. I got a Lawrence Lessig interview next week. Some interviews that I did from Family Action USA about the upcoming Supreme Court case against healthcare, John Sarbanes, his ideas about fair and publicly supported elections, other interviews about healthcare that I think you'll find interesting. Maybe Chris Rosen giving Oscar picks if I can finally get him to respond to an I am of mine. All that and more, ladies and gentlemen, for next week. I may be on Up with Chris this weekend. Check my Twitter feed. And join me in the better half of the program, 646-257-3920, or IM me at Majority FM.